Hello and welcome back to Core Finance. I'm Matt Brown. I'm joined today by a very special guest, Mark Oswald, who is strategist at ADM ISI. And, well, Mark, we're coming to the end of the quarter. Winter is coming. Q4 around the corner. Just sum up Q3. How do you think Q3 and certainly asset classes have performed over the past 3 months?
Well, I think it's worthwhile talking about because in the last 2 weeks, we seem to have got quite excited, particularly about some of the moves that we've seen in bond markets. Mm-hmm. There has been a little bit more volatility. We have seen US 10-year yields rise from 2.1 to 2.3 and take pretty much all the other G7 bond markets mm-hmm. with them, unsurprisingly, because the carry into the US is quite substantial. But in the greater scheme of things, we're still in the lower end of the range that we've seen for the year. Mm-hmm. Betting on the Trumpflation trade again, I still think there's a chance of something being passed, but in the greater scheme of things, unlikely. And in fact, the story of Q3 has been pretty much one of the same that we've seen before, mm-hmm. that outside of what appears to be a base forming in the dollar, which I'll come back to in a moment. Equity markets have been performing admirably. Mm-hmm. Yes, there have been a few stop-start moments. There's been no meaningful correction whatsoever. No. It's a relentless move higher. It's not really surprising in the context of the fact that we did make new lows in government bond yields for this year mm-hmm. in the quarter. Largely on the back of people's scepticism about the Fed, which latterly they've been taught a different lesson by the message that's coming from the Fed. But above all, we've seen a relentless tightening in credit spreads mm-hmm. again. Even with this rise that we've had, you look at something like the high yield bond spread, it's versus the 10-year in the US, it's come into 3.1. This is against the backdrop of very, very strong supply this month. Obviously, the summer months are always mm-hmm. generally subdued because it's holiday season. But we've had in investment-grade dollars in the US, $126 billion. And that doesn't include things like that jumbo issue that we had from Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. For which there was enormous appetite. And indeed, the appetite, if you look at the numbers of the performance of new issues, roughly 80% of all new issues have tightened relative to their issuance levels. And that's the actual issuance level as opposed mm-hmm. to the first indication, which is always tighter. So the appetite for risk assets has been relentless. And this is probably...
Do you find that concerning? I mean, having yes. the credit, the spread so tight, especially on high yield as well, it's incredible.
I mean, the concern here basically boils down to it seems almost like a Pavlovian trade. It's just buy the dip. I mustn't have too much cash in my portfolio
yes.
because cash doesn't generate any income and I must hunt down yield at every opportunity. And yes, people still weight more towards investment grade than the riskier high yield.
Of course.
But we've seen money, so the JP Morgan emerging market bond spread, it widened out a little, but it's marginal when you look at it in the greater scheme of things. We're close to the tightest levels. It's this aspect which is worrying because it just, there is no acknowledgement that at some stage we could get something of an upset, particularly mm-hmm. If you were to see some form of tax reform, some sort of movement in legislation terms in the US, then we all know that the Fed has already signaled to us that despite the noise that we're going to get from the hurricanes mm-hmm. in the statistical and numbers over the next 3 to 4 months, they would have to up the pace of what they're doing. And that obviously has an impact on the underlying government bond yields. And at some stage, this trade is going to become... less appetizing, shall we say. Mm-hmm. It's in that aspect that one has to look at the equity market rally, because if you look at it given the potential for capital gains and the dividend yields, which are much higher
yes.
than a lot of the yields on credit, it's understandable that equity markets continue to march relentlessly higher. And that is a perspective that I think everyone needs to keep in mind. They can look at all the PEs and mm-hmm. the forward PEs and the capes and all the other things. But if credit spreads remain as tight as they are, then you'd rather allocate to equities. This is on a relative basis
yes.
only, not on an absolute basis, mm-hmm. than to bonds. Now, what about Q4? Well, Q4, as we know, is generally a fairly... there are a lot of seasonal aspects, which I'll not go into the minutiae of, which are bad for bond yields.
Yes.
They tend to gently rise. I'm not talking about a wham-bam, we're going to have 100 basis points on government bond yields. They tend to rise. It tends to be a choppy month, as we all know, in October. So I think the low volatility period that we've had, particularly during the summer months, is probably behind us. The question is, are we going to see anything which is meaningful, which really encourages people to think that maybe they need to readdress their portfolio strategies over the last couple of years? And that, in turn, is contingent, obviously, on the sort of messages we get out of the central banks. If we see what I would call... there are people talking about coordinated rate hikes. There's going to be nothing coordinated or coordinated tightening of monetary policy. There will be nothing coordinated about it. All of them have different agendas, different policy settings, but generally the message is that central banks aren't going to be as accommodative, though the net flow in terms of QE, if you put the ECB, BOJ, BOE and Fed together, it's still going to be that there's going to be an injection. It's going to gradually get slower when we get into next year, thanks to the Fed tightening its balance sheet. But we're not quite at the stage, I think, where we really upset the apple cart. But I just feel that there's such a high level of complacency in some of the asset allocation at the moment, that the risk that we find an overpopulated trade and that someone comes unstuck on it, it's not going to be the same as LTCM, but it's along those lines where someone just has a position which is too leveraged, it's an overcrowded trade, and suddenly it has to be unwound, and it then starts to send shockwaves elsewhere, is probably an even higher risk than it has been all year.
Understood. And finally, is this the last full quarter for Janet Yellen?
I think so. I think when we looked at, you look at the way that she was talking on Wednesday, or Tuesday night rather, it seemed to me that this sort of, I'm not really bothered with inflation, is almost sort of saying, you know what, I'm not going to think about this too heavily anymore now. I don't think, you know, I think I'm going to stick to the line that this is transitory, that it's a bit of a mystery. And it's for whoever takes over the job in February. I would be uncomfortable if the man taking over is going to be any of the nominated, to be quite honest, there's none of them. But Gary Cohn, I believe, yesterday was quoted as repeating the rubbish that we've had from Treasury Secretary Mnuchin and President Trump, that the tax cuts will pay themselves through growth. That's Laffer curve theory, which in practice rarely actually pans out in reality. And it's one of those things, if he were to take over at the Fed, then you'd have to start worrying about where policy would be going under them, and that they could create very bubble-like, much more acute bubble-like conditions.
Understood. On that note, Mark, thank you very much for joining us today.